The CDN concentration story is one of those data points that looks like a statistic until you think about it for 30 seconds and realize it's actually a governance problem. The piece from CipherQ. Calm has 137 comments and a score of 153, which tells you the HN community had a lot to say. The headline: among European companies that use a content delivery network, nearly 9 in 10 use Cloudflare.
Let me put a business context around that number. Cloudflare's market position in CDN is genuinely the result of a superior product at an aggressive price point. They've competed well and won on merit. But when a single vendor controls 89% of a critical piece of internet infrastructure in a major economic region, the business case for being customer number 2 through 9 matters differently than it did when they were competing to be number 1.
The technical concentration is actually more severe than the headline suggests. Cloudflare isn't just CDN, they're DDoS protection, DNS, zero trust access, bot management, and increasingly AI inference through their Workers AI platform. A company that's routed through Cloudflare may not fully realize how many distinct infrastructure functions are bundled into that one relationship. If Cloudflare has an outage, and they've had notable ones, the blast radius is extraordinary.
The EU angle here matters quite a bit. European regulators have been thinking hard about digital dependency and resilience, partly because of lessons learned from the energy dependency on Russian gas. The internet infrastructure version of that conversation is less emotionally resonant but structurally parallel. What happens when a critical infrastructure provider makes a policy decision you don't like, or gets acquired, or faces regulatory pressure from its home country government?
This is where antitrust law becomes relevant, and it's worth taking a moment to explain how it actually works, because monopoly gets used loosely. Under the Sherman Antitrust Act, which is the foundational U.S. antitrust statute from 1890, the legal standard for monopoly isn't just having a large market share. It requires two things: possessing monopoly power in a relevant market and willfully acquiring or maintaining that power through exclusionary conduct, rather than through superior product, business acumen, or historical accident.
That distinction matters enormously. Cloudflare's 89% CDN share in Europe, taken in isolation, doesn't establish an antitrust violation under US or EU competition law. You'd need to show that they engaged in conduct specifically designed to exclude competitors, predatory pricing below cost, exclusive dealing arrangements, using dominance in one market to foreclose competition in another. The EU's Digital Markets Act, which is more proactive than Sherman Act enforcement, focuses on gatekeeper designations for companies that control bottleneck infrastructure. Cloudflare has not been designated a gatekeeper, but with these concentration numbers, that conversation may be coming.
The HN comment thread makes the practical point that there are technically good alternatives: Fastly, Akamai, AWS CloudFront, Bunny CDN. But switching costs are non-trivial, and Cloudflare's free tier creates a gravitational pull that's hard to match on price. Which is ironic. The thing that makes Cloudflare great for small developers and startups is exactly the thing that creates the concentration problem at scale.
The Broadcom VMware story is in some ways a cautionary tale about what can happen when infrastructure dependency gets formalized into vendor control. Leaving VMware just got harder. Broadcom pulled VDDK downloads, the VMware Virtual Disk Development Kit, which is essentially the set of tools you need to migrate data off VMware platforms. The post has 208 points and 99 comments, and the tenor of the discussion is what you'd expect from people who feel like a door just got locked behind them.
VDDK is used by backup and migration software to move virtual machine disk images. Without it, a lot of the third-party tooling that makes VMware exits tractable simply stops working. Broadcom's justification is presumably licensing and support control. But the practical effect is that organizations who spent years and considerable capital building VMware-based infrastructure now face a meaningfully higher cost to leave.
Broadcom's post-acquisition treatment of VMware has been aggressive by any measure: steep price increases, support structure changes, and product discontinuations that pushed a lot of enterprise customers toward reevaluating their virtualization stack. But reevaluating and actually migrating are very different things, and moves like pulling VDDK access are precisely designed to exploit that gap.
The European My Feed, My Way policy from the Australian Prime Minister's office, 133 points, 107 comments, fits this infrastructure control theme from a different angle. It's about algorithmic transparency and user control over social media feeds. Australia has been one of the more aggressive OECD members in pushing platform regulation, and this policy appears to extend that pattern into recommendation systems. The HN discussion gets into the technical complexity of actually implementing feed control in a way that's meaningful rather than theatrical.
The Google Jail piece for independent wikis is the most direct extension of the control over visibility theme. Score of 273 comments. The Weirdsloop org blog, they operate several gaming wikis, including a prominent RuneScape wiki, describes a systematic pattern where independent wikis have seen dramatic drops in Google search traffic despite high-quality, community-maintained content. The framing Google Jail captures the sense that there's a penalty being applied without appeal or explanation.
The mechanism is murky, which is part of what makes it so frustrating for affected publishers. Google's search quality guidelines have gone through significant changes over the last 2 years. And the combination of AI-generated spam flooding the web and Google's own AI overview feature cannibalizing traffic from the sites it summarizes has created a very difficult environment for community knowledge projects. Wikis, which are genuinely high-quality user-contributed reference content, are getting caught in filters designed for lower-quality content.
This connects to a real economic question about whether the web's information layer can remain healthy if the incentive structures keep pushing toward content that optimizes for search algorithms rather than reader value. Independent wikis are run by communities of passionate contributors who care deeply about accuracy. That's exactly the kind of content the web needs more of. The fact that it's being deprioritized by the dominant search engine is a problem that market forces alone aren't going to fix.